Welcome back to the show. It is now officially 4 weeks until college football season kicks off. Today is the day we are recording this, maybe not the day you're listening to it. It is Thursday, August the 5th, which means it is exactly 4 weeks until South Carolina plays Southern Miss in that very first game of the college football season. Well, today we have a very busy show. We're going to preview all the SEC teams over the next 4 weeks, and we're going to go in alphabetical order. Previewing three each week, and we're going to start, of course, with the three first teams, which are going to be Alabama, Auburn, and Arkansas. We will get to those in just a minute. First, I want to run over a couple of the headlines. Still nothing new on the Marcell Dareus situation in Alabama. We said last week, I said I think he's going to play in the first game. Sears said maybe not. You still think that? What are you hearing?
According to Saban yesterday, the investigation is over with. They're just waiting on the NCAA. Remember last year, Julio Jones and Mark Ingram were not cleared until the Wednesday before the Virginia Tech game. So there is no telling. NCAA could take its sweet time.
Yeah.
Is it fair? No.
No.
But is the NCAA fair? No. It's an antiquated organization that needs to get caught up in modern times. But I feel more optimistic by the way Saban is comfortable with it, that it won't be that severe a penalty. It'd be a big shock to me if Dareus ended up getting slammed. But we'll see. You never know with the NCAA. And
that's true.
It's just a crapshoot.
Today, West Virginia received a notice from the NCAA. The NCAA has accused West Virginia's football program of 5 major and 1 secondary rules violations from 2005 to 2009, including under former head coach Rich Rodriguez. What will this mean for West Virginia? We don't know. We don't know what the NCAA is going to hand down, but
it's poison for Rodriguez. That's 2 major investigations going on from programs, so he may become toxic.
So we will continue to monitor that. And for any breaking news, you can either follow me on Twitter or just keep it at bunsports.com, where we constantly update the headlines. But it is finally time to talk actual play on the field. And first out of the chute, we have the, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the 3A teams that first letter in their name is A. And the first one we are going to preview today is the Auburn Tigers. Last year.
You're not going alphabetically? Are you going to go backwards alphabetically? Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama, not Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn? Why are you blushing?
Sis, would you like to take over?
You Barner.
Well, I mean,
I'm just giving you grief. Go ahead.
If I'm pro Auburn here, then why am I saving Alabama for last? You have the grand finale. You should start
with the best.
You open with your second best act and close with your first best act, right?
Your first best, as opposed to your second best and third best. You hate me, don't
you? Yes. Anyway, we're moving along here. We're going to get rolling here with the Auburn preview. The Auburn Tigers come into the season with a few question marks, and mainly on the defensive side of the football. They return 7 starters on offense, 8 starters on defense. That's a lot. Quarterback, wide receiver, and offensive line should be an improvement this year. Running backs are going to be a question mark. Mario Fannin, of course, is the starting running back, with Ontario McCaleb and Michael Dyer in relief. And yes, Mario Fannin did have a decent year last year, but Ben Tate carried the load. What will this year bring for the running back core at Auburn? It's hard to say.
I think they've got a lot of solid running backs. Will they be able to hold up? Will the offensive line click like they did last year? Because some periods of time last year, they were just brilliant offensively, and then sometimes they absolutely stank it up. For instance, they started off against Alabama guns blazing, using lots of trickeration, everything going for them, and then they became more conservative and it caught up with them. They had the out and up, which scored them their touchdown that put them up 21-14. But I mean, they've gotta do something to be more consistent on offense. That was their biggest problem, their biggest complaint that you heard from a lot of Auburn fans is, yeah, we're scoring points, but we just don't know how we're gonna do it. Are we gonna do it in bunches? Or are we gonna do it consistently throughout the ball game? or are we just going to put up a bunch of points in the first quarter and hold on for dear life?
Yeah. Gene Chizik returns this year. This is his second year as the head man at Auburn, and he led his team to an 8-5 season last year and a win over Northwestern in the Outback Bowl in what was one of the craziest bowl games I have ever had the pleasure of viewing. Defensively for Auburn this year is where all the question marks are going to be. Defensive line, linebackers and safeties, some young guys and some seniors as well mixed in. That's not really the issue. The experience isn't the issue. It's the talent level and the lack of defensive productivity they had last year begs the question, how much can they improve this year?
I think they have a lot of talent. The Chizik recruiting class was very impressive. What were they, number 3 overall according to Rivals?
Yes.
I mean, they've got a lot of talent there, but they're going to be thrown into the fire because going from high school, I don't care if you play the highest classification of your state, you're going to the SEC where it's the big boys. You're going to deal with a lot of people off the bat that are going to be difficult. You're going to deal with Arkansas State's not that difficult, playing the spread offense of Dan Mullen on a Thursday night in Starkville on national TV. That's going to be a little intimidating for a first-time starter. Because Arkansas State, they should be. That's a JV squad. Sun Belt, no respect whatsoever. But you go into Starkville, where they've been known to pull off upsets. Last time Auburn went, it was the ugliest football game known to man, 3-2.
3-2.
Had Mississippi State had a field goal kicker, Auburn would have lost. But it's just one of those places where you never know. Crazy stuff happens in Starkville. They get that whole crowd behind them. They put LSU to the brink last year, and if it weren't for some amazing defensive plays on the goal line, LSU would have lost to them. Florida struggled with them. They like to step it up big time. They love it when they're at night stepping up under the lights. So they've got a lot of defensive people that are going to have to grow up quickly, but I definitely think Auburn's got a great potential. They've got a great special teams coming back too. I can definitely see them as a 9-win team, 10-win team, maybe even 11-0 heading into Alabama, which is a lot of popular hearsay right now. But you never know. Injuries are going to be a key. Can that shaky depth develop in time? But that, I mean, you've got a great shot right there, especially with that special teams unit.
Interesting you mentioned the special teams. That is, I think, the game breaker this year for Auburn if they are going to have a good season. Wes Byram returns, and Clinton Durst is going to be handling the punting duties again this year. And I think the impact players this year for Auburn have to be, and I say this, the first one, you know, I say this, he's an impact player if he does well. If he doesn't do well, then obviously he's not going to be an impact player, but I think he's the key to the season, offensively anyway, and that's Cameron Newton because he distributes the ball. And can he provide a dual threat, a legitimate dual threat, one that Auburn has not seen since they've been implementing the spread?
Cam Newton, to me, I think will be a good player. I'm more concerned about his character issues. He didn't have any problems at JUCO, but I believe you need to prove yourself more than just one year. He's going to be in a bigger environment with more temptations to do stupid stuff.
I won't steal your line. What did you call the game between he and Masoli this year?
It's the Laptop Bowl, October 23rd.
2009, some interesting stats from Auburn. 2009, their punt return average, their opponents averaged 12.9 yards per punt return. Auburn only averaged 4.5. Penalties, Auburn was 97 penalties for 847 yards, and opponents were only penalized 59 times for 466 yards. As far as fourth down conversions are concerned, opponents of Auburn's were 15 of 24, which is a 62% fourth down conversion rate. Auburn was only 4 of 14, which is only 29%. So those are the key stats of 2009. Well, let's talk about the Auburn Tigers and what I think they will do this year. Go game by game on the schedule, as we do. And Sears, just chime in whenever you want to take issue with something I say. But they start with Arkansas State. Obviously, no surprise there. It's going to be a win.
Win.
Mississippi State, I think, you know, it's going to be a close ball game. It will be ugly in Starkville. But I say a win.
I'll agree with you there.
Clemson at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Toss up.
It is a toss-up. I'm giving it to Auburn. I think Auburn I don't know. I think at home.
I say the spread's going to be 7.5 or less for that game.
Absolutely. And the same goes for their next opponent, their first home game in the SEC, and that would be the South Carolina Gamecocks.
I give that to South Carolina.
Very
I
think difficult.
That defense can handle that offense. It's just going to be, can Auburn's defense handle Stephen Garcia, and can Stephen Garcia actually show up for a game? But I like giving the Gamecocks the edge there, so I think that's their first loss.
I'm actually giving it to Auburn. I think Auburn takes that game and improves to 4-0 out of the gate. Louisiana Monroe, a virtual bye week. They will improve to 5-0 before going on the road to Kentucky. I mean, I obviously you don't think
they're I've got them 5-1 right now.
And you think that at Kentucky, what do you say?
Joker Phillips is breaking in a new system. I'm not a new system, but a new coaching staff. They play tough up there. They have upset some big names up there before, but they've also laid huge eggs at home. But I'm going to give that to Auburn. I got Auburn 5-1 right now.
Okay. We're going to keep a record of this, and we will bring records up at later dates. I have Auburn at 6-0. I think that in Commonwealth Stadium, they will take care of business against Kentucky, and I think it'll probably be one of their better games just because of the way the game sets up for Auburn. Then they come back home and play an SEC Western foe in Arkansas, and this is my first slip-up of the year. I think Auburn loses at home to Arkansas Sears.
I got to say, I agree with you. I got Auburn 5-2 right now. Arkansas's offense, if big emphasis, if Ryan Mallett is healthy and they have a semblance of a defense, that team can outscore you. It'll be like the New Orleans Saints. Our defense is not going to stop you every time, but we'll stop you enough that we can outscore you.
Then they come home the next week. Two important home games in a row to play LSU. I have Auburn actually winning this. They've lost 5 straight to LSU, or is it 4?
I think it's 4.
Okay, 4 straight to LSU. And I have them actually turning that around and getting the win. What do you say?
I agree. LSU is going to implode this year. Now, unless Les Miles pulls something out of that ginormous hat, they're just that.
Which he could.
He could. He's crazy enough to do it. But that situation right now is becoming very volatile. And when you have fans openly rooting for you to tank this year so they can fire you, it's not a good situation.
It's not a good one at all. Auburn travels then on October 30th to Oxford to play the Rebels of Ole Miss. And I think that Auburn takes another one, loses another game at Ole Miss.
I got Auburn winning that. I don't see Ole Miss doing too well. I mean, Masoli's going to make some difference, but they just have – they had Dexter McCluster last year. They came to Auburn, and Auburn was able to stop him. The only difference is – Masoli can throw the ball. McCluster was pretty much just a straight-up runner. So we'll see. But I think Auburn's got that. So what's that now, 7-2?
7-2 for each of us. You have Auburn losing to South Carolina. I do not. I have Auburn losing to Ole Miss. You do not. Tennessee, Chattanooga, obviously that's going to be a win. Then November 13th, Georgia, they've lost four straight. I keep saying five for every team. Four straight to the Georgia
Are you fearing the thumb?
Bulldogs. And, again, I think it's one that Auburn rectifies. I don't see Georgia. I think by this point in the season, Mark Richt will be absolutely desperate. I think Gene Chizik will come into that game after a virtual off week and beat Georgia at home.
I got to agree with you there. I liked Richt. I think he's a good guy, but he's had too many issues. He's underperforming. He'll be on the hot seat coming into this game. A win will save him, but I'm definitely going to say the Auburn Tigers go up, and they will be 9-2. Heading into the Iron Bowl.
Open week, and then, of course, the game that is foremost on every Auburn fan's mind this year, and that is the Alabama Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. I don't think this one, as far as Iron Bowls go, and granted, the 2008 was a little one-sided, but Iron Bowls are usually pretty close. I don't think this one's going to be that close. I think Alabama wins by a good 17 or more points.
I disagree. I say Auburn plays them close going into the fourth quarter. And then Bama finally establishes the run game and wears them down. Bama's depth at running back. They last year geared their entire game, Auburn geared their entire game plan to shut down Mark Ingram. Alabama's got more offensive weapons this year. If Auburn's going to just completely gear everything towards stopping one player, I'm pretty sure McElwain will be able to come up with a strategy to get the ball into someone else's hands, and Alabama will walk away. So I got Auburn a very respectable 9-3 heading out of Chizik's second year. Nothing wrong with that. They'll help build more momentum, probably get them either a another Outback Bowl or Citrus Bowl berth.
I agree. I think 9-3 is the record I came up with as well. Well, the only difference, as we said a minute ago, South Carolina, I have them winning, you have them losing, and Ole Miss, I have them losing, you have them winning. So our interns are keeping up with the count here. We will not forget this. 9-3 and 9-3. So, I mean, not any difference there. So we won't be losing any money over that one. Okay, let's go on. Let's move along now to our next preview, which is the Arkansas Razorbacks. The Arkansas
Suey
team comes in this year as Bobby Petrino is in his third year. He's 13-12 overall at Arkansas. They are returning this year 10 starters on offense, 7 on defense, a very experienced team.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. You're returning 7 people on defense. That was one of the worst in the SEC. That's not saying much.
It was that. But they're returning Ryan Mallett, and that is a big returning player for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
It all
this
rests
year.
On that left foot, which he was still in a boot on at Media Days. He recently was able to run on the treadmill. We'll see if he's able to run at practice or what they're doing with him.
I think he's going to play.
Who's their opening? Who's their opener?
Arkansas's first game is against Tennessee Tech. So
you can play him for a couple series and sit him. But
well, how about a play just to make him look good? Pad the stats. Quarterback, of course, a big advantage this year for Arkansas. There's no question about it there. What running back is going to be a question mark. Arkansas has not really does not really have an established running back, and it will be interesting to see the competition this year for that position. Wide receivers. Arkansas has some extremely talented wide receivers if Ryan Mallett is there to get the ball to him. If Ryan Mallett's not there to get the ball to him, then the receivers may go unnoticed all year long. But as you said a minute ago, the defense is where the question marks are going to be found, and whether or not they will be able to stop teams. As we've said, and let's just use an example. I mean, might as well use the national champion Alabama as an example, that game. And that's a big game for Arkansas and a big one for Alabama. Ken Mallett, of course, Mallett's going to make his plays, and I think Alabama's defense is great, but Mallett's going to really put some pressure on Alabama's young defense. But can Arkansas's defense stop Alabama and force Alabama off the field? Otherwise, Alabama's going to maintain control of the clock.
The past 2 years, Alabama has destroyed Arkansas, once in Fayetteville, once in Tuscaloosa. I think Arkansas scored a grand total of 21 points mm-hmm. the past 2 years.
Right.
Bama had a relatively young defense in 08. Last year was a more experienced defense. Saban knows how to stop
he sure does.
Petrino's offense.
Well, and season low last year for Arkansas, by far a season low. It wasn't close, was the 7 points they scored against Alabama. So let's talk about the impact players this year. Of course, Ryan Mallett, possibly the best quarterback in the SEC after the year, is considered right now to be the best quarterback in the SEC. And then I think this is interesting. I usually don't go out on a limb like this and take a special teams player as an impact player, but I think Alex Tejada. He handles punt, he handles kicks, and, of course, the field goals as well, and he was the scoring leader last year for Arkansas.
And he was making those very difficult field goals last year in the Liberty Bowl with one of the worst winds I've ever seen. That was basically a cyclone.
Go back and watch that if you ever have the chance. That was
an ugly, ugly game, but it was good. I think there's one person you left off that's not a player.
Okay.
But the new head coach or the new offensive line coach, Chris Kalinakis from Nevada. He Nevada was the innovator of the pistol offense, which Alabama's incorporated. It's a half version of the shotgun where the quarterback is still up, but the running back is behind, kind of like an I formation, which allows running back to get a little bit more momentum heading towards the line. I think that will help them, especially as a threat with Mallett, take some of the pressure off where they can't just continually blitz Mallett the entire time. If they put in a little bit of the pistol, you've got something the defense has to respect. Now, are they going to use the pistol a lot? Who knows? No one's really seen them. But we'll find out. I know they're not going to show their full hand against Tennessee Tech, but they've got a lot of options that will allow them to play with defenses. And if they can get a running game to accompany that great passing game, who knows? They are the sexy pick this year in the SEC.
They are. Let's talk about that schedule right now. You talk about Tennessee Tech opening up with them in Louisiana Monroe. Obviously, two wins coming out of the gate. Then they go to Georgia and Athens, Sanford Stadium, likely to be a night game.
Think it'll be another shootout like last year?
On ESPN? I really don't. I think this one's going to be a more controlled game. If there's a lot of scoring, it's going to be done on Arkansas' side. I don't see Georgia scoring a whole lot in that game. But I think Georgia's defense will hold Arkansas, so I think it'll be a low-scoring game. But I have Georgia winning this one.
I've got Arkansas. I think the wheels are coming off for Rick. I don't see their defense being able to withstand an aerial assault like they did last year. Last year, they just got darn lucky. It was whoever had the ball last won, and it happened to be Georgia.
Then they come back home and face Alabama, likely to be a CBS afternoon game.
Everybody, 2:30 kickoff.
All the eggs will be in the basket for this one. As far as Arkansas is concerned, Alabama not so much. They're playing some other teams after this that they may be looking ahead. Could be a very, very dangerous game for Alabama. However, it's going to be Alabama's day, and they will come away with the victory.
I don't think Alabama will be looking ahead to Florida because they know Arkansas can be a legitimate shot or a legitimate threat against them. I've got Alabama winning a close one. I see a 35-24 game, or maybe even something a little bit lower scoring, like a 24-13. But I just think Alabama finds a way to win, and Arkansas can't get that monkey off their back.
Off week, and then hosting, it's in Dallas, the Texas A&M and Arkansas game. It was a good game last year. Texas A&M was dismal last year, and Arkansas wasn't as good last year as I believe they're going to be this year. I have Arkansas winning.
Stomping them. The Aggies.
I agree. At Auburn, as I said in the Auburn preview, I think Arkansas wins this.
And I've got Arkansas winning it, too.
Okay. So Arkansas at this point, for me, is 4-2. For you, is 5-1. You have them beating Georgia. I do not. October 23rd, they host Ole Miss.
Beating the Rebels.
October 30th, Vanderbilt.
That program, they're idiots. They hired a redneck idiot. They should not have done that. It shows they're not committed to football, and mm-hmm. I agree with that Feinbaum article. Was it 2 weeks ago saying kick him
it's
out?
Time to kick him
out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very
they
interesting.
Need to get serious.
You can find that, by the way, on bunsports.com. I thought it was good too, so I posted it up on the website. November the 6th.
Tennessee?
At South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina.
I have this a loss.
I agree with you. I think South Carolina is going to be a very dangerous team this year. I really think South Carolina's got a legitimate shot to win the East. So I've got South Carolina.
I think you're right about that. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. UTEP, a win. And at Mississippi State, I say win.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to say it's an upset.
Ooh.
I think the Bulldogs are going to get somebody at home.
Sears making a call.
I'm saying the Bulldogs upset Arkansas.
Of course, this is radio. It's not TV. You can't see it, but I mean, he's got a pencil back there somewhere. You got a pencil over there. Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
I got a pen. I don't have a pencil.
LSU, the final game of the year. It will be at Arkansas this year.
Titanic. Arkansas is going to just drop as many points as they possibly can on them to send Les Miles out a loser. So I've got Arkansas 9-3.
I do as well. And the only difference, who did you have Arkansas losing to?
I have Arkansas losing to Mississippi State. You have them losing to Georgia.
Right. Well, it'll be an interesting year for the upcoming. A couple of interesting stats from last year. Arkansas scored 100 points. The opponents were held to, fourth quarter scoring 100 points. Opponents were held to only 57 points. That's a very interesting statistic. Fourth down conversions, Auburn was 50%, 10 out of 20. Opponents were only 4 of 16 for 25%. And fumbles, another key stat here, opponents fumbled 25 times for 17 lost. Arkansas only fumbled 18 and only lost 6 of those 18. So great job of holding on to the football last year.
Protect the ball.
Well, we move on to possibly the most important and big – biggest preview of the year, as always, when you're previewing the defending national champion, and that's the University of Alabama, not to mention the fact that Sears played football for Alabama a couple years ago. So we have, we have elephant heads around in the room here, banners, my Nick Saban cover on my phone.
My Nick Saban floppy hat on.
So
block the UV rays.
I mean, but we're not biased.
Not at all.
Alabama has an interesting schedule, and we'll get to that in just a minute.
Alabama has a big target on their back from everybody, but they we'll get
are.
Into that.
That is first out of the chute. Alabama is going to be the hunted this year. They have 8 returning starters on offense, only two on defense, that's the biggest.
But remember, a lot of those guys that will be starting this year have experience playing in the game. They weren't the starters, but they did play in big moments during the game. So I think they'll be fine there. It's about building depth, which Saban is very big on. So he's trying to get everybody experience. So the twos do get a lot of play time during the season. We'll see if that can translate into victories.
I agree. Quarterback, thumbs up for Alabama. Running back, thumbs up. Wide receiver, thumbs up. Offensive line, thumbs up. You can close the book and go home. The offense is going to be really good this year for Alabama. Greg McElroy returning, of course. The Heisman Trophy winner, needless to say, and Trent Richardson, his backup. Also, the wide receiver core, they have some young wide receivers emerging. I think Darius Hanks is a guy you want to keep your eye on this year. And, of course, number 8, Julio Jones. The offensive line is experienced and will be back with a vengeance to block for these guys to make plays. So I think offense looks good.
And we're also seeing today when they reported DJ Fluker working out at right tackle. So
inside we'll reporting there from Sears. Well, he was on the ground actually in Tuscaloosa reporting for Bun Sports.
But we'll see.
We'll reimburse you for that trip later.
Nice. Fluker has potential. Highly recruited, sought after tackle position. We'll see if he can do it. I think he will be able to bring some stability and anchor to the right side of the line.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with that offensive line, but I think that should be a strong point for them.
Defensively, I think the defensive line is going to be a strong point. I think that with what Alabama is returning on the line, they can put some pressure on these big-time quarterbacks. Linebackers and safety, though, is where the big question marks are. And I think Mark Barron, of course, in the defensive backfield is going to be a strong point. But you have, as I said a minute ago, only 2 returning starters on defense.
And the corners, they like to play a lot of nickel. They like to play some dime out of that. We've got word today, according to Chris Lowe, that junior college transfer Daquan Mimsy is working with the veterans and was in the first practice, which Saban likes to divide up the first couple of days, have the returning players, their ones and twos in the morning practice, and then the new guys in the evening. So Daquan Mimsy was with the veterans this morning, and he was working with the ones, so we'll see.
Don Kausler also just reporting that Blake Sims, a safety, has qualified.
So he is the 105.
So he will play this year for the team as a question mark. So that's obviously good news for Alabama. Question mark, and I think possibly the biggest question mark, I'll get your take on this, special teams. I mean, last year you had Lee Tiffin and P.J. Fitzgerald did an awesome job.
And don't forget Selman the snapper.
Kicking.
The snappers are often overlooked.
I always leave snappers out.
Everybody overlooks the snapper. You never think about him until he screws up the snap.
But fumes snappers go up are in very, the other room when I
very important.
The snapper. No, they are. You're right. And you obviously know more in depth about what it takes to have a successful special teams unit. And I think Alabama definitely that's a question coming in. What do you think?
Well, we'll see. Remember, Tiffin started as a freshman. He had that horrendous game against Arkansas, but he rebounded, have a pretty good career after that. It'll be a lot of pressure for a freshman to be kicking in the SEC, especially when they get to visit some of those hostile environments like Arkansas, like LSU, and Tennessee. But we'll see what happens. I think Saban has a lot of confidence in these kids. Otherwise, he wouldn't have signed them and given them a scholarship. And hopefully they'll be able to make an impact right away.
Impact players this year, I think I'm putting one impact player and I'm combining 2 players, Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson, the running back core. I think together those guys are going to be possibly the most impactful unit on the team.
They will, but they also need to find a third running back, an Upchurch.
Well, that would be Julio Jones. I think he's going to actually play quarterback, running back, and wide receiver this year. Now, he is an impact player, and I'm going to go out and say Mark Barron is another impact player of mine. I think he's going to have a big impact. He's got tremendous athletic ability and long arms. That's what I'm hearing, that his arms are really the reason why he can get so many balls and tip so many balls, the length of his arms.
Defensively, I say a lot's going to be on the shoulders of Dante Hightower. He is going to have to replace one of the greatest linebackers in Alabama history in Rolando McClain. Rolando was the general of that defense. He and Saban had the same mind. They thought alike. They called plays alike. And they knew what they were doing. Hightower is going to have to assume that responsibility. And he's also going to have to be able to get people in the right position. 2 years ago, it was Rashad Johnson that was able to get everybody in the right position. And he knew what calls to make in the adjustments.
He sure did.
Adjustments. Last year was Rolando. Now the mantle has been passed on.
Very big part of the defense. Okay, a few stats from last year, and then we will get to this season preview. Fourth quarter scoring, and we mentioned Arkansas a minute ago. How about Alabama? 121-32 in the fourth quarter last year.
Got to finish strong.
Absolutely, and that's really one of the reasons Alabama was so successful last year. Penalties, opponents 86 for 729 yards. Alabama was only penalized 69 times for 598 yards,
and that shows a lot of
holding,
discipline.
Holding was hardly ever called last year.
A lot of people complained about that, but it's discipline.
I'll
tell you, as a football player, there's holding every play, and there's different levels of holding, and it just depends on if the referee thinks it's severe enough to hold the defense or prevent the defender from doing his job.
And that's attributable to Joe Pendry's coaching,
yes.
Also.
And I know a lot of people complain about it, but you know what? It has to be the ref to call it. Mm-hmm. And if they're not holding, if they're actually doing a good enough job, then they're not going to get the call. And, I mean, you have to be a disciplined player, keep the hands within the restricted zone, not pull the jersey. They look like they're doing that. They're being very successful, and the offensive line's being very dominant.
It is. Rushing touchdowns, Alabama scored 31. Opponents only scored
31?
5.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible stat right there. Okay. Alabama opens up with San Jose State, which obviously is going to be a win. Now, the question, this is a little different. I mean, the others, you know, it's kind of a wild card as we go through the season. Alabama's a little different. Well, I think the big question is, do we have them going undefeated? And that'll be interesting to see as David Sears and I predict the upcoming season. Penn State and Alabama. I have a win for Alabama.
I have Alabama winning a very ugly run-based football game.
At Duke, could be a little, I don't know, it'd be early afternoon game, but I think Alabama wins.
It's a 2:30 game on ABC. It should be no problem for Alabama. It'll be the biggest game in Duke's recent history under Cutcliffe, so
yes.
We'll see.
At Arkansas, obviously a very scary game there, and I think it will be close. I think this is not a joke. It will be a close game. Alabama wins.
24-13, 35-24, Alabama's going to win by 11 somehow.
And then the Florida, the Titanic tilt in Tuskaloosa as Alabama and Florida
meet.
It'll
be an amazing football game.
It will be.
We'll see if Brantley.
I'll let you go first.
We'll see if Brantley can actually perform. This, I think, will be his biggest hostile environment he's ever gone to. So I'm going to say Alabama wins a squeaker.
Oh, he's putting on the elephant head.
I'm going to say they win a squeaker.
I think... The same, basically. I mean, I can't really add anything to what you said. I think it's going to be interesting as it comes down the stretch. But I think Alabama wins it like a 28-24.
I think it'll be a game for the ages.
At South Carolina, the next week, the gas will be out of the tank for Alabama.
I disagree.
Okay.
I say Saban will keep this team focused. That's his biggest emphasis, is take it 1 week at a time. It doesn't matter what you did the previous week. Doesn't matter what's the next week. You can only control what you're doing right now. I think Alabama goes into South Carolina. They've had recent success there. I say they win it.
This side of the glass has Alabama at 6-0. That side has them. This side of the glass has Alabama at 5-1. That side of the glass has Alabama at 6-0. Ole Miss at home. The Rebels. They are not going to be.
That is what I think will be a trap game for Alabama, because Houston Nutt sucks when he has big expectations, but he's very good when he's the underdog. I think Ole Miss gives Alabama all they can handle. Bama barely hangs on. They go into Tennessee undefeated.
All right. Sears has them undefeated. I agree with that win at Ole Miss. I mean, at Ole Miss at home. at Tennessee. Knoxville, Tennessee has, they really want to consider whether or not they want to play football this year. I say Tennessee,
Dooley's
not even going to be close.
Dooley's going to have that team ready to fight. They'll build on last year. Hey, we only lost to them by two. If we would have had a field goal kicker, we can play with these guys. I think it's another close game for Alabama. Alabama getting real close to running out of gas. Hangs on, beats Tennessee, and goes into that bye week resting and much needed rest.
Mm-hmm. It's same as last year. At LSU.
That's the Titanic. That game's going to be a blowout. It'll be Sean Alexander running for 5 touchdowns, blowout over LSU. LSU will be in full-on self-destruct mode, and lynchings of Les Miles, or no, it's not lynchings, effigies of Les Miles will be burned all over Baton Rouge, wanting them to bring back Saban.
LSU, I agree. Alabama beats LSU. I have it a little closer, though. I think it will be contested game, at least for the most part. Mississippi State at home could be Alabama.
It'll be a good preview of Alabama getting ready to play Florida a second time.
Yeah,
with
that's a good point.
Because they'll get to go against that spread offense again. And I think they'll do well. Mississippi State, not this year, but next year will be a team to be feared.
I agree, but I have them winning this year. Then you come to the game that matters so much and could be a huge game on the schedule.
The Thursday nighter.
I missed that. Georgia State, Bill Curry will be bringing Star Jackson if he's still around, into Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I think obviously a win.
Alabama needs to go into that game with the focus. We're going to win it. We need to get our starters out by the second quarter. Much like North Texas and UTC last year, they need to go in, win a game, have it taken over and controlled by halftime, so that way the backups can get some plan, and then they can start getting ready for that big showdown with the Auburn Tigers.
8 days after that, Alabama plays Auburn on that Friday, 1:30. I mentioned how much I hate this starting time for a prestigious game like the Iron Bowl. Nothing I can do about it, though. I think, as I said in Auburn's preview, I think Alabama wins this one. I'm saying a 17-plus point victory for Alabama at home. I think Alabama's going to prove a point this year that they want to get Auburn.
I think it'll be a closer game, like I said earlier, but I like Alabama. I think Alabama goes through 12-0 with the rematch of Florida in the SEC championship game.
I think so, too, and we won't preview the SEC championship game until it gets here, but I think you're right. I think it's Alabama, Florida, and I know I'm giving away next week's preview as we will have Florida, Georgia, and Kentucky next week, but I think
here's
it will
a, here's
be
Here's a shot. Will Kentucky go 0-12? Can they do it?
That is a tease, and, they didn't have such a joke as a head coach.
Oh, what a good one.
Well, we will see you next week. Been a longer show than usual, but it's intense this time of year, and it's only going to get more intense as we roll into the college football season 4 weeks away. This is the Jacob Bunch Show. We will be back with you next week.